It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Lovely day here, and Stephanie Mills. Something told you. It stayed in my mind. And feel the fire. Hey, to cut to the chase here, you know, we've been talking about the conditions of the Waikiki Beach area and the showers, outdoor showers, and the health concerns and health risks that they present and all. And we, so far, we thought that it would be covered in the paper, and it may still be, but I did get a copy, a letter back from the state, and I'll share that with you. And once again, you draw your own conclusions, but anything that you go to the state for, the Department of Health, you better be guarded against. They're going to protect business, their asses, and their assets. Not your ass and not your assets. They don't care. As long as the image that is being portrayed on the airplane, Honolulu is a beautiful place, Waikiki is even better. That's the image, and everyone involved here in the state is complicit in this cover-up. And I have, fortunately this morning, I'm joined by a person that works for the city, but he's not here in the capacity of a city employee, that knows firsthand for the impacts and the health risk of these showers and associated with it and the bacteria and the human fecal matter. So I'm not going to go on any further, and I'm going to ask Chris to tell us and just start off, share with us, and I'll ask a few questions. And we don't have a lot of time, but go ahead and share with us, what have you seen there? Are we overreacting to this shower and the conditions, and is this something, as an activist, I might appear to be, am I blowing this out of proportion, or is it a reality?
No, actually, I just want to thank you for bringing this to the attention of the people, because this is horrendous. You're not making this up in any way, you're not blowing it up, it's dangerous. I learned firsthand. I mean, working down there on the beach, I got MRSA, I got staph and strep from that place, and I've had to have my legs cut open. I still catch MRSA all the time. Once you get it, you always get it. Mm-hmm. It's in your body, in your system for life. It's, you know, it's horrendous. The showers were overflowing when I was working down there with a foot of water with the homeless fecal matter floating around, where we've had to dig trenches from the showers going. Unfortunately, the only place we could put it was to the water. You know, other than that, it would just pool up higher and higher. And we warned everybody. We went to the parks. We went to the city. We told everybody, and nobody would help us. Mm-hmm. And warned our supervisors what was going to happen. You know, we were watching little kids play in the showers like it was a pool because it was so backed up. But they don't notice, you know, the homeless are defecating into it. Mm-hmm. And they're swimming around, little kids, like 2-year-olds and 1-year-olds, swimming around in it, and there's doo-doo floating around. Mm-hmm. So we were warning the parents, and the parents are just like, well, why don't you guys do something?
And these are these showers at Waikiki. Now, I want to make sure people understand that I didn't go out and fish you up and try to insinuate or incite you.
No, we actually reported this back in 2014 when I was working there. It was horrendous. I can't even go over there anymore. I had to move to a different area. I don't even work in the same district.
How about the other folks that work there? Are they concerned, or have they experienced similar thing, health risks or health issues?
Yeah, we've had other guards and stuff get, you know, the lifeguards down there have gotten super sick. They've got strep, MRSA, they got it all too.
So all in Waikiki Beach.
All in Waikiki. And, you know, it's a shame when we hear that hotels are dumping
you know, dumping stuff into the water over there.
That was the Mauna Loa that was dumping, had a pipe, right?
The Moana Surf Rider.
Moana Surf Rider.
Yeah, and, you know, it's a shame. I mean, you're promoting our ocean, promoting our beaches, but at the same time, you're dumping stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know, into the ocean. It's horrendous. It's crazy. It's mm-hmm. like you're telling people, come here so we can infect you with other stuff.
Because they know it's happening, and their attention to it and how they're addressing it is obviously suggested they really don't care, because there are other options. And
yeah.
What have they suggested? You guys suggested, and your union, I think, was involved asking questions. What was going on with that?
Basically, we just tried to get some kind of support, not just for the people working there, but the people that are coming there every day, you know what I mean? We were trying to get them to clean it up, and nothing. We went to the clean water. We went to the clean water people. We went to all kind of people. We went through every chain of command, and we just got ignored and told, "Oh, just deal with it." So people were getting so frustrated that we had to go and take it upon ourselves to not even do our job. We had to do their job and go clean. You know, dig trenches.
Dig trenches to channel the water.
Yeah.
And that water would go where?
Down, it ended up going into the water. Cause
into the ocean.
Yeah, but it was, we would put signs all around it so that they wouldn't go.
And the public wouldn't go and play in the water that was going down the trench, because it was from the shower.
Yep, and we had to even close, like we would take it upon ourselves to take caution tape and wrap it all around the showers, so that way people wouldn't go in there. And then they would take it out on us, you know what I mean? The people are like frustrated with us. We're like, do you really want to be swimming in that? Do you want your kids playing in that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, our supervisors did everything they could, you know, my immediate ones, but it's just...
Fell on deaf ears, because this is Waikiki. Am I drawing the wrong conclusion that they could have done something, but they didn't want to do anything because it was Waikiki and it might scare the tourists? Mm-hmm. Am I reading too much into that?
That's my assumption. I can't speak for them, but that's what we're going to get at. That's what I think. You know, it's like promote things and, you know, keep the rest hidden.
Right. And but the reality is you ended up with staff, and Mercer, and horrendous. I saw some of the pictures that you just showed.
Yeah.
And that in itself is, I wouldn't want that. And now I'm thinking, you're just going down there to film and walking around and getting in the water because it's a reality.
Yeah, flesh-eating bacteria is deadly, you know. And the few people few of us that got it, it was so bad we couldn't even go to work. It's extremely painful, you know. You're sick. You don't want to touch anybody. You can't even go near your kids. You know, mm-hmm. I had to stay in a whole other room because I was scared to infect my kid with it, you know, because it's contagious.
And how many of your coworkers would you, off the top of your head, would you say have actually got MRSA that worked in that area?
A few of us. Like, we are all getting it around the time. At least four of us I know that
In that area. So you're not just a rare occasion,
no.
A rare incident. There were others.
Yeah.
And are they still working there, or they had too, had the same concerns with getting Mercer and transfer?
Yeah, they wanted to be here too, but, you know, they had other things. They had to be with their family and stuff.
Are you concerned that there would be retaliation for you even coming in and speaking out of this?
I wouldn't doubt it. I'm pretty sure that there's going to be some kind of retaliation for this. But I'm worried about the people. I'm not, you know, if it... You know, if speaking out is wrong, then I guess I'm wrong.
But. And especially if you're endangering yourself and you're put in a place where you got to go to work, you got to make a living, and if you don't show up and they're not supporting you and they're trying to keep this hidden, makes it kind of awkward for you, for the entire staff down there to be working.
Yeah, it's weird, you know. It's like you don't want to say something, but, you know, not saying something and then... some child dies is going to be. I just went down to Waikiki the other day and I saw it, and, you know, they cleaned it up for a little bit, and I just went down there and they dug the trenches again, you know. Same trenches, you know what I mean? When is it going to change? When is something going to happen to make them realize, does somebody have to die? Does somebody got to die in order for them to go, okay, well, now we got to make a change?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? We're there to protect people. and ourselves too. I mean, everybody deserves to be safe when they go down there, not just.
Now, when we have sewage spills, and you, I take it you've been around when there has been sewage spills down there.
Yep.
And I noticed some of the signs. Everybody seemed to be apologetic on the city and the state. The city does not have the right to tell the people to stay out of the water. Because, but yet they know that there's fecal matter. They know these showers are presenting a problem. They know that its own staff is getting staph and the other diseases. Mm-hmm. How do you take that when you're just sitting watching this and you know that you are firsthand impacted?
It just sucks, you know. I mean, but to be honest, people, we put signs up and people ignore the signs.
Mm-hmm.
But we're still there on the, you know, on the scene, and
but the signs don't say, didn't say in the earlier part, polluted water, or anything like that. It just says no swim area, right? And some of the city signs, I noticed the lifeguard signs.
Yeah, we have our own signs. As mm-hmm. lifeguards, there's no swimming signs. We don't have the other signs
that say bacteria. But
yeah.
How do you feel when you're sitting there? You know that. That there's been a sewage spill, you know that the state is concerned with bacteria, but you stick a sign up that says no swimming.
Yeah.
Is it a shark, or did an electrical wire fall in the water, or is the water too hot and it'll boil people, or is it just simply it's unhealthy?
It's for us, no swimming, that's a basic sign, you know, it's just no swimming.
Could be tied, or a current, a toe, right?
Yeah.
So, in your opinion, do you think it could be improved, the telling people, informing people better?
Yeah, I mean, they should have people down there doing preventive actions. That's what we do. We do preventive actions. So when they come and tell us, we'll let them know why.
Mm-hmm.
But they should have other people. We only have a few of us. They should have more people.
Of the lifeguards.
Yeah.
Now, you've seen the staff there of the city parks scooping dirt up and sand up and these showers. Would you say most of these showers have a problem with backup water and moss and other things?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it just sits there, you know. I know that they clean it. Some of the parks guys clean it once in a while. But throwing sand into the area where people, you know, the dirty sand where people urinate.
So you're saying... I was under the impression that they know the sand is contaminated with fecal matter from people washing and urinating and what have you, and they scoop it out of the shower and then take it down to the beach and dump it on the beach, spread it on the beach.
No, they just throw it right there.
They
right?
just throw it, and but then someone comes along and lay out their towel and the children play in it.
Yep, well, that's exactly what happens. I mean, just like the picture I showed you.
Yeah.
That's it's crazy.
So when they say the city crew cleans up the showers once in a while, so the cleaning up, they're not picking that sand up and hauling it away.
No.
They're just scooping out of the shower and putting it even closer and inviting people to come lay and wallow in it.
Yep. That's exactly what goes on. You know what I mean? They're just transferring it one spot to the next spot just so that the shower can flow. And doesn't back up, but you just took all the stuff that was in there and put it right on top there, on top of the sand. It's, you know what I mean?
Has anyone returned, a citizen returned to you and say that I was here some while back and then I came up with staph?
Yeah, we've had a few people come back and tell us that, you know what I mean? Oh, I got super sick and I got these bumps all over me and it ended up being staph and strep and then I got MRSA and like... They're like, who do we talk to about that? I'm like, oh, you can call the city and let them know.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, they're on vacation. They're not going to do it. They just live with it.
So even though there are two agencies the same on the same city banner, the parks and emergency service, emergency, what is it, ocean safety.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys ever have meetings to talk about these showers or the impacts of the showers on the people? Did they ever solicit anything?
That's not for us. You know, we're the lower on the chain, so that's for the higher-ups to deal
with. You're the first one to have contact.
Yeah.
When they see that tower, when they got an ouchie, a sting, or a bite, or an abrasion, or whatever it is, they run to the tower.
Yeah.
Right? Or,
that's the thing. Yeah, they come to us first. We're the first responders on scene, so, I mean...
And yet, you're the last to know and the last to be... So how many occasions would you say that you guys told the city parks and recreation that this thing was this bacteria, not bacteria, but this conditions of the showers?
We told a lot of times. I mean, multiple complaints from multiple people down there, you know. Not just the workers, but we've had the people on the beach. They made complaints to us, and we were like, here's the number.
Mm-hmm.
Call this and let them know. And we called, forget the number of the Clean Water Agency.
Yeah, Department of Health Clean Water Branch.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And did you call this? Because the city has its own wastewater branch.
Yeah, and they said they just keep redirecting you to other guys. Oh, no, they deal with that. So then you go to them, and then they're like, no, that's them.
Yeah.
And everybody points the finger at everybody.
In the meantime, you are struggling with staff and MRSA,
yeah,
and whatever other diseases, illnesses associated with working in down in that area.
Yeah, it's horrendous with the amount of, you know, homeless. You know, mm-hmm, you find syringes in the shower, things mm-hmm like that. You know, they're
in
shooting
in the outdoor shower.
Yeah, they shoot up right there in the bushes, and then they just throw their stuff right there. You know, so some mornings you come, you clean it up.
And you're cleaning up needles.
Yeah.
Laying in the shower.
As long as people are safe, you know, that's the main thing. But we're exposed to it. The people are exposed to it.
Anybody report that they got stuck with a needle or anything?
No. We had people say they stepped on it, but then it didn't pierce.
Skin. Or
we'll have mothers come up and they're like,
we found this needle in the shower.
Yeah.
So does the city parks people walk through these showers on a daily basis in the morning time to look to see if there were needles or fecal matter?
You know, during that time when I was there, they were going through and we would let them know, hey, look, what's going on? You guys got to clean it. But nothing would happen. We'd report it to our supervisors. Our supervisors would report it to their supervisor and up the chain, and nothing would ever change. So we ended up having to do it ourselves. And then sure enough, I told him, I said, somebody's going to get sick or die here. You know, hey, somebody's going to get sick and somebody's going to die. And it ended up being me getting sick.
Yeah, and the chickens came in the roots with you and your co-workers.
Yeah.
So what would you like to say to the public about this? Should you believe that the public is safe going down? It's okay to go down there under these current conditions? What would, in your recommendation?
Honestly, I don't think it's safe for them to be in the showers and stuff. I mean, I got sick. They can. I mean, they might make it. You know, we always tell people, you can jump in the shore break 1,000 times. Who's going to be the unlucky one? You know, does somebody mm-hmm got to die first?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And how many people do you think is impacted from the ocean safety people that work down in that area? How many that are exposed to these conditions on a daily basis? How many workers do you approximate?
All of them.
20 people, 30 people? I mean, the ocean safety people.
Yeah, that's more than that. You know.
Because how many lifeguard stands are down at Waikiki, maybe?
God. About seven.
Seven lifeguards stand there. So,
and then some have two guys in it. Some guys have one. Some have three.
And so either one of those people that working there could be exposed to this at any given time.
Oh, they're exposed to it every day. It's not any time. They're exposed to it every single day, you know.
Has your union approached the city? Has there been any effort on that? Or
probably minimal, you know.
Now, it's funny, if a person worked at the Board of Water Supply and one co-worker shouted, I'm going to kill you, that's terroristic threatening in an unsafe environment. But you can go down to the beach every day and report in your normal duties and be exposed to bacteria and everything, and you notify your bosses and you get staff and you get MRSA and they ignore you.
It's bad. You can.
And the working place should be safe. I think they should guard that. That's one of the rules, a safe environment for workers and not a hostile environment.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I don't speak for the city. I'm speaking for myself as a citizen, concerned citizen. But at the same time, we're exposed when I work. We're barefoot.
Yeah, you know that's what I mean? You are.
We're the only emergency service people that work barefoot. And there's glass, needles, rocks, coral, all kind of things. You cut your foot open, you walk in the shower, you can get it, you know. I mean, do your best to clean it, you know, keep clean, that way you don't get it. But when you do get it, it's not a fun process. You're taking medications, staying away from your kids, you can't, you know, it's sad, you know. Your kid wants to sleep with you at night and you can't do it.
Now, let me ask you this. Would you, in your opinion, would you take your kids down there, or do you take your kids to Waikiki Beach?
I don't take them there anymore. I mean, I will, but if there's another beach, I'll take them somewhere else.
But you're as nervous as a hen, huh, with a duck crossing the road.
Scrubbing his feet, everything.
Everything, huh?
Yeah, it's no joke. It's
because you know firsthand.
Dangerous. Yeah, it's dangerous.
Yeah.
And, you know, kid could get sick, and I'm not willing to risk my kid, you know.
Given the conditions of these showers, in your opinion, do you think we should keep them there, or should we just shut them down and connect them to a sewer line and incorporate them that way? Make sure that, rebuild them, tear them down, or what? What's your recommendation?
I think they got to find a better way to do it, to rebuild the showers. To me, honestly, people are getting in there full of sand, so it's going to clog up whatever system they have, a filtration system, I don't know. This one just drains into the ocean, I'm sure. You know?
They say percolating, like percolating down at a ratio like we're making coffee, you know. That's the funny thing about scientists and government workers sometimes. They use these words that are so non-threatening or don't carry the impact to really say percolating down.
Right.
Or, you know, let's say precipitating or draining into the soil and standing there in a pool of cesspool. That's what they, and they know that's what's happening because it's a septic condition there, right? There's bacteria in the sand.
I consider it infecting instead of percolating.
Yeah.
You know, it's just seeping in, you know? It's just seeping more into the water, into the sand, all these things. There's, you know, we have scientists that can figure out all kind of stuff. Turn sewage into water.
Mm-hmm.
We should have somebody that's smart enough to be able to figure out a way to keep these people safe. The showers, if they got to move them somewhere else, move them somewhere else, but or figure out a way to pump that thing out. They have pump trucks. Pump it out and get rid of it.
Yeah, well, I want to let you know that we're like at 9:32, and I know you say you got to go. You want to go for anything else for a couple of minutes? And
I want to see the people safe. I've already experienced what it feels like. It sucks. It's horrible. It's extremely painful.
And life-threatening, I guess.
Life-threatening. Yeah, or you can die from it.
Or lose a limb, or lose...
Yeah. It's like the guy who fell in the Alawai. He caught MRSA. You know.
But that reminds
me. That's fish-eating bacteria.
That reminds me that the guy that responded to that was Amir Mufi Hanneman, and he kind of was rather flippant about the guy falling in. I think he made some remarks about you that it wasn't a caring comment. You know, he was very flippant about it. It's something to the effect, I don't want to misquote him, but you must be living in a cave or something if you don't know that these conditions are there. But I think the guy was drunk or drinking or something, or intoxicated or ill or something. Who knows? But he fell in.
Yeah.
And so, again, that's in the Alawai.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Alawai runs into?
Ala Moana.
Ala Moana.
Yeah.
And Ala Moana runs into, and the beach, the current comes along, and then you have go down below the outrigger and all those areas coming along, and people there, and there's outdoor showers there.
Yeah, it's a big cesspool, you know.
Yeah. So anyway, I really appreciate you coming in, but one other thing, the city. So, going back, though they were, when they did clean it up, they weren't trucking the sand away and hauling, diverting the water to down the drain, to the storm drain or to the sewer. They were just digging up the sand out of the showers and then spreading it on the beach and digging a trench down to the ocean or where it let it flow off the shower area.
When I finally left, it was, I just said, I can't work here anymore. I have to move to another spot. So after that, next thing I know, they brought in, I think we got a hold of you two, and we got a hold of every after going through everything, it ended up, they ended up bringing in bulldozers.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a big thing on the news. They had to bring in the bulldozers and clean out the showers.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, that's how bad it got, where they bringing in bulldozers to clean out showers, you know.
Yeah, when we met, what, 3-4 years ago?
Yeah.
I went down there and investigated. And then we're back at the same lies and the same foot dragging and the same misrepresentation. And I don't understand. So that's why I draw the conclusion, money before the safety of human beings and the environment. This is what these greedy people are about. Nothing to do. If we put a sign that say caution, or if we spend extra money to make it sanitary, to bring it in those conditions that is not threatening, they don't want to do that. They want to operate and grab as much as they can.
They just want to keep bringing people in. You know, we're going to bring in as many people as we can, but we're not going to support the infrastructure that's needed to maintain a cleanly environment for these people. I mean, you're going to invite somebody into your house to have a party, you're not going to leave your house a complete mess. You know what I mean?
And everybody go to the beach. You want to get the sand and the salt water off, and we should have showers or some source of water to rinse, you know, fresh water to rinse off. But when you're generating waste in wastewater, and I observed a lady there take a Pampers or something off of a baby. Now, she got in the thing, if I recall right, it was, the baby was sagging diaper, and they stood there in the shower. Then she took him out of the shower and took it off him, and then him or her, And, well, I don't know where she threw it. It was because I was trying to get some other pictures of the water going from an angle. But I thought to myself, okay, if the homeless are doing it, then each baby that go through there and each person, the average human being, will urinate. I noticed they don't go to the bathroom when they get out of the shower. They go through the shower and go up, go back to the beach, pick up the towel, and leave.
Yeah. So, I mean, like the homeless part is so, I don't even know where to begin with that, because they'll just defecate in their clothes, and then they just jump in the shower with all their clothes on, and urine, and because they pee all over themselves. They get drunk, intoxicated, and high, and then they'll just pee and crap in their pants, and then they just go in the shower, and they just sit in the shower for half an hour, flush everything out, and then just walk away, you know?
And right there, and all the people standing around, and you witnessed this.
Yeah, and then they'll come and complain to us, and there's like, there's nothing we can do. We can't tell them not to go in the showers, public shower.
Would a park docent or something like that to program to monitor these things? But again, the design and the failure of the so-called design, actually, let me back up. That's not a failure, because
it worked back in the day.
Yeah, but, you know, there's only certain capacity that these things could handle. I mean, so if it's intended, built, okay, what, honestly, 2,500 people a day it might be able to service and take that volume of water. But there's more than 2,500 people a day visiting these things, so that exceeding the intended capacity or the expected capacity. So you're going to create waste anyway.
Right.
Excess waste. And it's all percolating into the ground and then percolating into the ocean and the groundwater, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what's going on, in my opinion.
Well, okay. Well, I appreciate you joining me, and I wish we could have a little more time, but it's good enough.
I appreciate you going out of your way to do this. I mean, you know, it's not just our job that we're warning people of this stuff. It's everybody's duty to do it, to, you know, keep an eye out for each other, you know, especially our kids. And if we can't support the infrastructure that we need, then what are we doing? You know what I mean? Like, why are we still trying to bring more and more and more if we can't even take care of what we got now?
And so what would you say on behalf of the lifeguards and the ocean safety people and the public, to listeners out there? What can they do? Would you like them to support you guys, because it is a matter of life and death and health for you guys. I mean, you have to go there every day if you work there.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you say to them?
I mean, to the guys that are out there in the field, just cover your ass and take care of yourself. Keep it clean. Keep your immune system high. I mean, you don't want to end up getting this. It's not a fun trip. But, I mean, I really can't. I'm not allowed to speak for anybody.
Right. But the public, would you say to the public that...
They need to speak up. You know, mm-hmm. if you live here, say something. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? If you're going down there and ignoring the situation, you're not helping anybody. You're not helping yourself. You're not helping the children. You're not helping the tourists. You're not helping anything.
You're just exacerbating it, yeah. making and influencing the worst part of it, huh?
Yeah, and if they're, you know, visitors and they're coming here, say something even more so. Say it to your hotels. Say it to anybody you can talk to. You know, tell somebody. Don't just ignore the situation and walk past it like it's not there. Because nothing will get changed if nobody says anything.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow. Hey, well, thank you, Chris. I appreciate it. And keep me posted. And we're going to try and making sure that the city... right now, we've tried to get the article or some coverage in the newspaper. But apparently, the way the game's played here is that this mayor has connections, and he's hired half the staff that formal newspapers and reporters. So he got that covered. But we're going to try and use every microphone and every camera we can at every occasion to bring to the attention, and if we have to, because when I look at your picture mm-hmm. of that staff and the damage that is done to you, mm-hmm. I'm thinking I'm going to go and get me a bubble and go back down there with my drone, and then I'm going to throw my drone away when it hit the sand, because it's serious. Those are some...
Yeah, it is. It's yeah. That's. I mean, I wish I had the other pictures too. But when you trade out your phone, you don't always get to keep all your pictures. You know?
Yeah. Well, just stay alive and keep your head up.
Yeah.
And we're going to throw a life vest preserver to you. I think we're going to make a difference here.
Yeah. Well, and hopefully I get to keep my job after this.
Are you okay? No. I think there's always a whistleblowing act.
Yeah.
And, you know, and also you have a right, and I can't believe that anyone would not defend you. If they saw those pictures, mm-hmm. they would probably go and volunteer and put themselves in jail. Because who, they don't want it. I mean, right. you know, they drive around fancy cars and chauffeurs and what have you, and you're out there on the front line,
mm-hmm.
and they can't support you. By law, you have a right.
Right.
To in our workplace, it's safe.
Exactly. That's what we were saying. We were like, we deserve to come to a clean work
yeah.
environment, you know?
I mean, you can't expect anymore. And anybody that would take, I mean, it's a reality. I always, when someone asks me, well, you think they'll retaliate against me? And I say, well, just refer to the, take a page from the Bible. They killed Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, talking about retaliation, mm-hmm. you know, for what? I mean, they don't need a reason. It's the system, greedy and want money, and will put people's health and the environment on the back burner, and mm-hmm. they want to show that bottom line at the end of the year. We brought in $50 million,
mm-hmm.
and we spent it on a train
yeah.
that's going nowhere.
Some bikes.
All right, well, thank you, Chris, and I appreciate you coming in.
Thank you so much.
Aloha, thank you. This is the Carol Cox Show. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Okay, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Another day here. Always so beautiful here in Hawaii, and make you want to work harder and harder when you look up at the sky and see the mountains and see the large clouds rolling over them. You just want to just think how beautiful it is. But it's dwindling, folks, and don't know what's going to happen. We're waiting for some intervention on some grander scale, I guess. We have come to believe that there's another solution. I think it's not apathy anymore. I see a lot of people believing in external powers that beyond their fingertips that's going to take over and fix these things. And in the meantime, we will learn to tolerate as we have and let things go. And I just got a text here. Someone is saying it's sad how the first responders are actually being ignored by the state and the ocean safety. And it's tantamount to, or the equivalent of, taking firemen and telling them to go out and go inside of a building, and then and the building is smoking and on fire, and don't give them a breathing apparatus. The lifeguards deserve better. We all deserve better. But again, I think we're so fixated on the rail that we've, so many other things are just presenting themselves in a horrendous fashion, and we don't seem to care about that. We've been pulled to the side, and our attention has been diverted, and we don't care for our first responders. We don't, we don't understand or appreciate. And the someone was talking the other day about this fireman, and I was at that scene where the airplane crashed, and saying, well, they get paid enough to do that. And I'm thinking, my God, is that the conclusion you draw? There is nobody get paid enough to go chasing an airplane that is crashed and on fire, and they to claim they're getting paid too much. You know, it's just, we're a cruel nation or something. I don't know, but I'm going to post a couple of those pictures of the staff infection and the Mercer. And I'll just let you see firsthand that here are first responders, and they are the ones. They are, if everybody was drowning, as many people get in trouble in Hawaii, in the state waters, and especially on this island. And if it were not for the first responders or the ocean safety people, we would be a backwoods state now. We would, I believe that our economy would take it in the shorts on this one, because they save a lot of people in the preventive. I mean, just waving down someone on a windy day from Japan or China or Mississippi or wherever that has no knowledge of the currents or anything, but they got this big inner tube, and that's the style now. Get the big animals and blow them up and get them on and float on them. But they present such a great danger, because if you're not skilled and all you got to do is drift out a little way and create panic or It's not, most of them are not that well built to hold your body weight, or you could slip through them. So imagine having to go to work every day, and you know that there's staff and Mercer and everything else there in the sand and the water, and you've got to be there, and your bosses tell you just ignore all of that. And then when you speak out, you're concerned that you'll get fired. So folks that are listening out there, if you think you don't have a role in this, you do, because it's your tax dollars, and you deserve better. And the only way you get better is to remind people of these things. But in regards to this, the showers, and the state did respond to my complaint, but not in totality, because, you know, talk is cheap, and I'm not accepting that. And we may end up seeking to file a legal action. I hope they get the message in my questioning and writing, because enough is enough already. The Beach Act, the Clean Water Act, 342D, and those that I've shared with you. But on June 30th, the state sent me a letter. They claim they sent a letter, and I got it by asking again. Carol, in response to the email you included me on below and a similar questions that our communications office received, that was from the Star Advertiser, asked some questions. And as we understand, beach showers are explicitly provided to allow ocean users to rinse off after getting out of the water. The beach showers are not intended to be used for bathing with soaps or to be used as laundry or sink facilities. Given that the showers are only provided to rinse off, it has historically been Clean Water Branch's position that the discharge are not regulated. Though we encourage the agencies that provide the showers to allow for percolation or other non-obtrusive practice, that said, between shower and the shoreline erosion and the increased recognition that beach users do use soap after swimming, and consideration to not regulate the beach shower water may be revisited. We have evidence that the shower water discharges at multiple locations throughout the island state, and the best practice is for the shower water to be disposed of through dry wells, French drains, and etc. We also have anecdotal evidence that the shower water may be degrading the receiving waters. With this recent public concern raised, the DOH Water Branch, Clean Water Branch, will be reevaluating this issue, contacting the responsible property owners to discuss solutions and consider options, which could include implementing best practices to reduce discharges. Folks, this is a well-written, sleazy piece of garbage that they didn't speak to the bacteria. It wasn't the recent public concern raised. There's no recent public concern. That was me looking at this and being contacted by people who were getting sick, and ocean safety people getting sick, and with staff, and I filed a formal complaint. That's what triggered this. They had responded 2 years ago, and then 2012 they were there, the state health department were there. And this brings me to the occasion to say to you, get off of your duff, folks. You're chasing the wrong issues. The real issues is your government is not acting efficiently. Your government is working against you. And you can make the same amount of money, and you can accomplish the same things by doing it right and incorporating the safety of human beings and the environment. But they choose to do just the opposite. Why? I mean, why such resistance? It makes no sense. You give it to them, you hand them a perfect scenario where something, the bottle caps need to be removed. Give it to government agencies, the cap will never be removed, and all it takes is a simple twist. But because the politics, it may reflect bad on this guy's role as a manager. We have respect for this agency. We don't want infighting, and it grows to that. In the meantime, the public is still standing there going, when are you going to twist the cap off? It's that simple. And I don't mean to sound mundane, but this is what you are dealing with. So when you can't get a response from the city and the state and what have you, just remember this letter here is a piece of art. I know you thought I was going to say something else, but no, I wouldn't. But it's sad. The jumping around and the dancing around, the percolation. You see, you hear the term percolation. And we know that the shower waters may be degrading and receiving waters. What does that mean? Are you saying, okay, you acknowledge that it's bacteria and fecal-laden water, fecal coliform in the water, and up in the showers and shishi and urine and what have you, and that's okay there. We acknowledge that it's there. But if we allow it to flow down to the beach, into the ocean, now it's degrading that. What are you saying? So if you know all of this, why haven't you done something? Wouldn't it be sad that this whole debate catch fire and grow, and in a national coverage and an international coverage that the Waikiki Beach is filthy? Not because nature made it filthy, but because the actors who call themselves the park managers and the mayor and all of that will lie through their teeth and just stand there and allow such a dangerous condition to fester. It's scary, folks, and I'm just going to tell you. I'm going to tell you the way it is. And I know it could be spoken a little better, but I don't want to say it a little better. It has already had its lip service, and now we need to take some action. We'll be right back. This is the Carol Cox Show, and take care. I will be back in the next hour. 524-1080 if you have comments or questions.
Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080. 524-1080. And now here's Carol.
Okay, hey, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. This is the second half here, and again, as I had invited, if you'd like to call in, 524-1080 is the number. If you have any comments or questions, or want to share something with us in the recent developments, we're all ears. A while back I talked about an area in about three weeks, a month ago, talked about an area in Evalay. And this area is contaminated with byproducts of a process used by Gasco. And it's embedded in and injected in the ground or buried or however you want to describe it. And right now we're covering something doing some filming and video, and what we have here is we talk about the Waikiki Beach and the matter flowing into the ocean and all of that good stuff. Now, there is a stream, and I don't think you can get any worse than this. If you and I'm always saying that if you ask what, how bad is it, it's really bad. How bad is it? It's really bad. It's the worst. And up until that moment, that's the opinion, that's the observation, and clearly we're all entitled to our own observations and determination if we think something is different. But folks, there is a stream back of Best Buy in Evilly, and you go through the, some of you know the old the Eagle Cafe area, and this Eagle Cafe area, there's a stream there that runs, and it goes to the ocean. You, any given day, every day. Now we've been just years back we saw it, and we were given an explanation. Well, what you're seeing is the oxygen that is generated by the pumps, sump pumps that are used to drive off some of the oil byproducts or constituents in oil and cause them to dissipate. That was the line that we got. And okay, we'll accept that. We don't have any grounds or any reasons to not believe them. Because, you know, state wouldn't lie to you. People, the state people wouldn't lie to you. They wouldn't give you misinformation. No way would they do that. You know as well as I do, they don't lie, right? So, there is this stream, and it's when you hear the pump start up. So you take this entire area of Evilly. I'll lay it out for you, some of the areas of concern that might be or should be suspected or revisited in this. Now you see how the state wrote back this letter to me about the showers. It's shameful, but there's a program called Volunteer Response Program that the state allows, or something similar to the Federal Brownfield Act or practice, where you cover it up and basically with asphalt and the most minimal procedures that you could take or put in place or apply to address a major environmental concern. And so this area contains, you got the 925 Dillingham. Let me lay it out for you. 925 Dillingham area. You have the community college, which is in that's the 925 is underneath the ground. There is diesel fuel, and there's concerns with other constituents, and underneath the ground that was leaked out by Dole Cannery. So the state and its always willingness to manage things in the best way it can without ever thinking about connecting the dots of environmental concerns, what works, what won't work. They allowed them to put dirt over it and put an asphalt covering and then say that just monitor it and make sure none of the smells or the, if it leaks up, or then it's not a problem. Then you take the the community college. There is lead in the soil. They were going to build, and there are some other constituents underground across Dillingham from 925. Then you come back toward the area, going south toward the fishing area village, there was a large buildup of methane, if you recall. The building, the state building that was built, and it just sat idle for a long time because of the threat of methane was there. And where does methane come from? Well, different decay, different matters. So you have that. That's to the southeast boundary. Then you go on to Home Depot, and then you have the harbor where leaking pipes and old pipes that are rusted and has fuel and other contaminants in them that have leaked into the ground. Then you go over to Zippy's. There is concern there on Nimitz. And then you have Lowe's, behind Lowe's, and we got Dole theaters in that area. And just make that big circle. So they have a pump there to suck out the water to prevent it from flooding, because they have a flooding problem. But somehow, some way, there is an introduction of some substance that's white in color, very milky, and it is discharged directly into the stream, and it goes into the ocean at Pier 38 in that area. This has been going on for years. Not a single concern has been raised by the state health department. It's been covered up. And this cover-up, on 2/11/2012, 9 o'clock, the reference case to the Clean Water Branch, sample results indicate that it was not an oil or paint. The samples did contain elemental sulfur. This is at 1150 North Nimitz. You know, we have this big debate about cleaning the oceans, and we pretend that we care. But Honolulu, its mayor, its governor, the state governor, and the legislators and the city council basically have no interest in protecting the environment. If they did, they would never allow anything near this to occur. You can go to see what I'm talking about. Either go down there yourself and look at it, or you could go to carolcox.com, and we're posting pictures up and video of the actual material floating and flowing out of the pipes. And this is a 24/7 occurrence for the last 20 years, going directly into the ocean. What it is, now this was in 2012, this report that I got from the Clean Water Branch, and it was referred to, I got it from the Hazard Environmental Emergency Response Office. And they referred it to the Clean Water Branch in 2012. The Clean Water Branch suggests and indicates that they might have some documents, but they're trying to find them and put them together. So that tells me if they're trying to find them, then that means it didn't get the priority or wasn't assigned the priority that it should, the importance that it should have received. And so what we have here is something, it boggles the imagination and the mind of common sense people like myself. There is no way, and the smell, you go there, it has a strong odor of rotten egg, hydrogen sulfide type. Now, to say that's what it is, I don't know, because when you consider all of the potential sources that are draining into that, then you would understand that we can't say who specifically is responsible for dumping it. We know that there were incidences of leaking tanks. We do know that Dole in its cleaning process of each shift, they had, I think I was reading somewhere, they had three shifts at the canning facility. And so each shift would receive a washdown. And then that material, I was told, was washed down into the sanitary, the sewer system, not sewer, but the storm system. Now, I don't have the facts there, and I can't tell you that to be the whole truth and nothing but the truth, but I talked to some old-timers who walked me through it and said, no, they were, in fact, allowed to dump it into the storm, into the drain. And that was it. And there is a letter that even talks about the actual being allowed and permitted to dump it into the city municipal drain. And I don't know what is happening here, but this material should never, never, there is no way in a, this is not a third world nation, and with all the lip service that we have and that we give to the environment and the protection, and we're getting electrical bicycles, and we're getting a train that I don't know what it's touted to do, but it's going to clean the air and keep a lot of people from putting pollutants in the air from driving their cars or their gas machines and all of that and their diesel machines. But what on earth can they say to justify the pumping a continuous discharge of a sulfur-laden material? Now, Gasco also has, and I talked about this on an earlier show, in the past, Gasco processed a material, diesel fuel or what have you, and to make enough the type of fuel that they could burn and generate electricity. And they injected this material, the byproduct, into the ground, into the water table. And so what happens then? The state allows Gasco or Phillips 66, or the Australian company that was conducting the process, not to clean it up, but to have it the land handed over to or sold to Western Solutions, who is a company that does environmental remediation, cleaning up of land. Well, Gaspro should still have the responsibility of an ownership of these contaminants that are in the ground. Western Solutions said that we could clean it up, and I think they, on that note, they were able to acquire the land at a cheaper price than the normal market price. But what is a normal market price when you have a major environmental concern or in place that it's going to cost you more millions just to address it? So what did the state do? The state agreed that Western Solution could take possession of the land and start proceed to clean it up, quote, clean it up, or remediate it. Well, that remediation failed. And so now they're saying, well, you know, they're making some overtures that, well, what we would like to do is build buildings that are high and with ceilings, high ceilings, and we could use it for shipping and what have you. And so why would you do that? You see? Well, the gases don't get trapped that are being emitted from this contaminants underground won't get even trapped in the ceilings if they were low, posing a greater risk to the workers that would be working in it. So if we could build them with high ceilings, that won't impact the workers as much, and they won't be inside the facility as long. Well, you have that situation, and so Weston proceeded to inject and take various, make various attempts with usage of certain chemicals and what have you, and injecting them into the area, trying to gasify or liquefy this material so they could extract it that GasPro left. It didn't work. So you have that as a potential. Then you have the flooding, and you have a sump pump. And so instead of saying no to all parties that got their volunteer response program in place, that the state gave them a nod, and then the state is bold enough to say, well, what we're really doing is this works. And they come in and it's voluntary. But if you're on the other end pumping out materials, and it's being discharged in the municipal stormwater outlet into the ocean, that's a crime. That is just absolutely wrong. And this is what you have. This is the same people that will write back a letter. So let's follow this whole process. When I say they're corrupt, when I say they are just illegally and operating as a state, and the people there, you know, if you have the responsibility of enforcing the law and regulatory body and you fail and you knowingly, that's become legal concern. It's not just you have a choice in this because you're getting paid, and the whole system is corrupt. So why would you take such massive impacts and then address them by saying to the businesses that are responsible, well, take the minimum response to address these things and we'll live with that. Meantime, we don't know the cumulative effect of all of them put together. We don't know, because on their own, they present a problem. But when you combine them and consider that they may be contributing to the bigger problem, you need to get off your duff and change your approach. But instead, it didn't happen. I don't know where to go with this one. But if you look at the pictures and go to carolcox.com, I assure you, you will never, ever accept this as being part of Hawaii in the practice. There's no way. I will buy you lunch. If any of you out there believe that you could look at this and say that it's acceptable, what we normally do, well, you know, it's not a big problem. When you have a milky substance smelling like rotten egg dumping into a stream, and what I got to see there was this stream is quite, it's a branch of the Kapalama, and you know how we've degraded and dumped everything in there, but just to give you a little inside view of what we're dealing with, what we're destroying. In there, I videotape underwater the oopu. Now, I can't tell you if it was the endangered one, but it was one that I had not seen before. And then you have the glass shrimp. 50, 60, 70 of them all collected at the outlet. And you're standing there and going, well, gee, they're clinging on. But if you look at the conditions of this stream, how the state has just openly and blatantly allow the degrading and the dumping of this material, and then the willingness to go out and celebrate and be go and be make speeches at the Hokulea arrival and all, and talk about protecting the seas when they have no conscience, folks. There is absolutely no way the mayor could say to himself, and when he gets up, if he looks in the mirror, maybe that's half the problem. He don't really look in the mirror at himself to know when to stop. You would never accept this. You would never go before, and the governor, you would never go before a public body and make a speech and talk about protecting the environment and your efforts and sustainability. You would never, you couldn't, your lips wouldn't even be able to form themselves. You would be paralyzed. If you were to be honest and truthful with the people and say to them, this is all BS what I'm talking about here. Let me show you what I'm really about. Let me show you this river, this stream, this canal that leads to the ocean, with teeming with native species, and I allow them to dump their contaminants and their poisons into the stream on a daily basis, on an hourly basis, on a month, on a minute-by-minute basis. You're going to be floored. I have been around for some while. I have never, ever witnessed such a discharge to be in such an open area, to go unregulated, unaddressed, and then you are out touting yourselves, as your administrations, as being caring for the environment. There's no way. You've got to be the grand liar. You've got to be the person that has the ability to lie in amongst the best of us. There's no way. There's no way you could talk about safety and the clean environment and knowing in your hands you have the fate of the people at Waikiki, the Visitors Bureau. What a gamble if this were to catch fire and get out that we have such conditions at Waikiki. It might be the death knell of the industry, the tourist industry. You might think you are immune to the discovery or having these impacts land in your lap. But things have a strange way of finding themselves into weaving themselves in your life. And accountability, we all will be accountable. You might think that you're part of this crowd or this inner group within politics, and so you're insulated. But things have an interesting way of working out. And I'm going to try my damnedest to make sure that the world, in any form or fashion, if I have to go on Instagram, Slowpokegram, whatever, these two items are simply unacceptable. It gambles with human health. It degrades the environment. And all that we can do is become better wordsmith in writing letters. And instead of saying, we receive your complaint, instead it's recent developments that brought this to our attention. When you articulate in such a fancy mode, you're being evasive. And why are you being evasive? Because you know the implications and you know the impacts and you know the costs associated with many missteps such as these. So I guess this conversation serves two purposes. I'm not apologizing for saying that they're corrupt. And I will never say that to be apologetic. It's painful. It hurts when people surround themselves and putting little blue bikes on the sidewalks as a business and going to save the environment, and then you're turning around and knowingly dumping chemicals into the ocean, into the environment. And you want to know what's really sad? Taking all that into account, I sat there on this stream bank as this material was flowing just as open as anything. And there's a young man fishing, and he's catching tilapia. And he had the biggest smile on his face that you could ever see. And I said, well, what are you going to do with these? Well, I'm going to eat some of them, but I'm going to sell some, because I can get 25 cents for the little guy, and then I can get 50 cents for the big guy. These are tilapia. I caught a 3-pound crab, he said, a 3-pound Samoan crab in here the other day, and I sold him for a lot of money. He didn't say what, how much. So what's wrong with that picture? We have chemicals being dumped in the stream. The state knows it. We have a state agency called the Department of Land and Natural Resources that should regulate these things. We have a Department of Health that knew about this and know about it and offered to allow this to occur. And yet, nothing happens. And yet, not a single sign. If you go to Pearl Harbor, you will see signs where we went and filed complaints to the State Health Department and to the Navy saying, your signs are inadequate. You claim that they are contaminated, the fish are contaminated here, and the mollusks and the shellfish and all, and the crab, crustaceans, please post signs. So they posted signs around Pearl Harbor, all the way to West Lock, all the way out, down, covering West Lock and those areas as a result of our complaint. But the same agency that has knowledge that they are authorizing and turning their heads, looking the other way of this illegal dumping, and not a single sign saying, do not eat the fish. In fact, don't even touch the water, because we don't know what it is. But in 2012, they went there and sampled it and found that it had sulfur, but then walked away. So, something's terribly wrong with this picture. You see, there's something awful. If I had the chance and the opportunity to say to Governor David E. Gay, is to say that the amount of money you're spending, just spinning wheels and covering up and looking the other way, we could save millions and accomplish a lot more if we were to abandon the VRP program. And when you are a generator of waste, then you are to also be the party responsible for cleaning it up, not leaving it in place. That would be your responsibility, you see. But instead, it's a free fall. This pumping of this material, if you see it and see the video that we've shot and the milky conditions and the substance just flowing, it's as if you are able to fly through a cloud. You've flown on an airplane and where the small type clouds that the plane does not try to avoid, it just flies through them and you see them. It's like that. The clouds are just moving and swirling this material in broad daylight, midnight, early morning, rainy days. It's still there, just flowing into the ocean. And we just had Malama Honua. And all of those people go there and talk up a storm. I don't know. As we say in the South, my mama taught me to be ashamed when I'm wrong. But damn, somebody missed something in the hearts of these people. I don't care if you're the most corrupt person in any political position in any state, nation, city, or county, or where, back bayou, you should have a conscience. And to be able to walk out on stage and speak to the world claiming you care about the environment, and you dump, and you authorize, and at your disposal you have a team of people that are responsible, that you will not fund, that you hold on a short leash, that they want to do their job but you won't let them because you're diverting the money to pay salaries of your political friends who failed in their elections so they get a job somewhere as a staff member, and so you got to come up and create some salary that wasn't allocated or legislated, so you hook and crook, and then you go and stand on stage and talk about how you cherish the environment. You got to have the biggest huevos on this planet. You might not be tall in stature, but boy, to be able to do that and to have a open flowing pipe just flowing chemicals into the ocean is wrong. Not a single sign to say it's impacted. Nothing. The smell, the people in those buildings, the people that transit that area, having to breathe that. It's on the backside of the community college automotive center and an industrial area, and they are having to breathe that. And then if you go into the Costco area, we're speaking to another area that of concern. You will smell between Costco and Home Depot parking. You will be overwhelmed on occasion by the smell of raw sewage. What is it? Now remember in 2010 they had an explosion of methane, underground explosion. That's not to say that this won't occur again. Now, the solutions company is, I read some documents where they say they were successfully getting things done, but some of it failed. Caller, thank you for holding. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Yeah. Mr. Cox.
Yes, sir.
I just want to ask you a question. Where do you think the FDA, the American Medical Association, the Department of Health, the NIH, how come you think none of these organizations get involved in the health of society? I think that is. I'm going to listen offline, okay?
Well, why do I think they don't get involved? Or?
No, how come I listen to your show and I notice that those agencies never are the ones filing charges against the state for allowing these things to happen?
Mm-hmm. Well,
I don't understand why they're not doing anything about. I'm sure they know all of the disease corruption
mm-hmm.
that goes on in all this whole conglomerate of medicine and disease. Because to me, this all falls under medicine. Eventually, you get a disease, you're going to end up in the emergency room, or you're going to end up with a disease that's going to destroy your biology. So it's just a medical problem.
Well,
how come the medical agencies that's supposed to be doing our bidding never are involved?
Well, they are involved, but what it is that they get their guidance from corrupt leaders. Their guidance from people. You know, I don't know anything about this gentleman, David Ego, other than he's been a senator and he's been quiet and all. And I don't know anything about him. I don't know anything really. Well, I do know a lot about Kirk Caldwell. But I don't know what it is that would allow people like that to go in amongst the public, the crowd, and make representations that, oh, you're having this gathering, and I'm bringing electric bikes, and I'm taking up half the street to make a bike lane, and because I want to save the environment. But at his disposal...
Hold on. Mm-hmm. When you say save the environment, that also means human biology. Or is that excluded from the environment?
Well, no, they don't... They don't connect the dots. It's just that I want to. Here's an opportunity for me to come out and sell my bull, and make myself look good, and distract people from what it really is, and they won't. They will confuse me with being the man who cares and with the man who don't give a damn. You see, and it's about self-promotive promotion, and
so
then.
Hold on. Mm-hmm. So, Mr. Cox, so when they created the humane society, fuck
mm-hmm.
animals.
Mm-hmm.
What you're saying, if I not you're saying is what I'm saying, not you, is that they haven't created a humane society for human beings. Basically,
yeah.
Even though they use the word humane, how can they use the word humane only in reference to animals and not to humans?
Yeah, well,
because I don't hear humane behavior going on in all this toxic poisoning
mm-hmm.
that's being allowed to go on through the government.
Mm-hmm.
So the government doesn't have a humane society to protect us.
Yeah.
All these agencies, all these ethic groups, all these licensing bureaus, there is nothing to help us. But if you can afford the Dream Team Law Agency to pay them $10 million to research your case, that's all we have?
Yeah, and you interesting you speak of that. They were just showing some town where a county or some part of the U.S. where the people get about 2-3 minutes with their public defender, and so they don't have representation. But hold on 1 second here. Just and just to show you how corrupt this is, and when the inhumane, it takes a special kind of human being to behave like these guys do, to say that I'm going to build a rail whether you want it or not, and then I'm going to do this whether you want it or not, and oh, by the way, I make $200,000 or more by working at this bank, and that should be a conflict, but I'm not. That takes a special character. You don't wake up overnight and put your pants on one day and go, I'm going to be a jerk. You don't do that. You grow into that. You evolve into that.
Are you sure that's not a mental illness we're witnessing?
Well, it could be.
Or psychopathology of some kind? Because I once learned that the whole American corporate system is based on being a psychopath.
Well, apparently so, because whether you look at the mayor of staff, and you look at the governor's staff, and look who he's surrounded, it's people that will ensure that he get to carry out his wishes, and that they can tell a lie and or don't even speak to an issue, and go out and represent themselves as if I'm jocks.
Are we also to make the connection that maybe the doctors to survive have to be psychopathic also?
I wouldn't go be generalizing. I wouldn't do that. Individually,
my personal opinion.
All things are possible, right?
Because eventually, sickness ends a person to a doctor. Sooner or later, we end up in front of a doctor.
Right.
So, if the end result of this is medicine, then I see a direct connection between the whole thing. That's just me, though.
Yeah. Well, anyway, hold that thought there for a bit. I wanted to, okay, consistent with what I was talking about earlier.
Yes.
This regarding the dumping of this material, and I want people to understand that I'm trying to be come across as a rational, reasonable person, but inside, it's boiling, man. It hurts because I don't know. It's one thing to walk up and see a stream pumping white, filthy, unknown chemicals into the ocean, and your government knows about it. That's one thing. That's painful. That's another than when they have the responsibility to protect all of us and to make sure things are better, and then we don't get that. But here's regarding dumping this material. July 22nd, 1986. This was written by University of Hawaii Manoa Environmental Center, right? Environmental Center. Okay, so zone of mixing. 1, Gasco Evil A plant. 2, Dole Packaged Food Company, Evil A cannery. In accordance with your request of July 7, 1986, I have briefly reviewed the above-cited zone of mixing applications. The requested renewals... Hold on. The requested renewals seem appropriate given the nature of the discharge, i.e., only clean, quote, only clean brackish cooling water, end quote, with industrial waste diverted to the municipal sewer. I do not foresee any impacts beyond these currently being experienced in zones of mixing that would suggest denial of the requested renewal of the existing zone ZOM permits. We appreciate your opportunity to respond to the request. And this is Jacqueline Miller. See, Acting Assistance Director. See, they are able to go back and have documents written up for themselves. And if you look, there's always addressing it. And then we still today in 2017 have an open pit sewer flowing into the ocean.
And how many diseases that people are getting from this stuff that when you go into a doctor, they will tell you their symptoms. If this isn't something that fits in their documentation, just like you just read, they create the documentation, right?
Mm-hmm.
If your symptoms don't fit, then they start blaming it on your mind. But what I hear loud and clear from all this is that if they don't approach medicine from a forensic perspective, then yes, the insurance companies are covered. Everything is to protect the insurance companies in the end. They got the lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
They got the money.
And they got the government entities that will allow anything to happen because, you know, most of these environmental laws are set up because these issues have impacts on human wealth, health and safety and the environment. We know that.
I'm going to listen off the line, Mr.
Okay, well, thank you. Hey, thanks for joining. Aloha. But... Governor David Ige did a news release, and it's just one thing after the other. Release: common lead test can give false results. We reported that on the show a while back before they came up with this, but we're always a day late and a dollar short. Wonder why? Is it that they get more money by not speaking up? But I'm here to tell you that one of the things that goes on in this whole process of environmental protection, it's a sham. And as much as I am always nervous about Donald Trump, but I can understand if he and I were standing on the same stage looking over the same activities, and I'm not saying I'm equating myself to him or agreeing, but folks, if we have an EPA, and we had EPA under Obama for 8 years, and George Bush for another 8 years, and on, and today we have a pipe pumping out white chemicals into the ocean, is Donald Trump far off? If you can't fix it, do we need you stand around sucking up our tax dollars, lying and writing letters such as the one I read to you from the State Health Department? They're the enforcement branch, but then you go to them and you file a formal complaint and says, hey, you didn't do your job. And then they in turn write back as wordsmiths. That may be the sickness that this gentleman had called, you know. And I write them in my complaint. I'm of the opinion the city and county was emboldened by your agency's involvement and has concluded your bark is bigger than your bite. This is what I said in my complaint. I'm not being mean spirited. I'm just trying to make sure that we don't have to breathe, eat, drink, sleep in, or what have you, any of this stuff, especially when we have people that parade around as being caretakers and overseers for what it is that we're supposed to be protected against. Constitutionally, we're entitled to clean air, clean water, and all of those things. And yet, the people that are responsible, they'll tell us anything. You see, they will tell us anything. And we got to get past that. I don't know what the solution is, but there is something terribly wrong, and I'm going to keep harking on it. That caller, go ahead with your comment.
Darryl.
Yes.
You know, President Trump always talks about clean air, clean water. What about the land? You reported many times on these military bases of contaminated soil in Hickam, Schofield, other places, McKinney Marine Base. The military has to do something about their environment too, because they get away without having anybody check into it. And all these toxins are going into the ground, eventually to the water system, and who knows where else it's going to be in the military themselves. You know, the people that work there, the people that live there. It's stupid. You know, he's got to look at the whole picture and clean up, besides the swamp in Washington D.C., clean up the
swamp, the swamp here in Honolulu.
The sewer.
Yeah, the sewer. I'm sorry. Okay. I forgot. But something's wrong. There's something. I mean, these guys are willing to speak it and talk it.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's as if I'm chasing the fastest rabbit down the deepest hole constantly. It's like, and they're repetitive, right?
Right.
And then you read, oh, we have the health of people are declining, and Hawaiians are being unhealthy, and you know, and I'm thinking, my God, tell us the bad news. Now that you've told us the bad news, tell us the good news. When are you going to take an action?
Right.
You see, don't burden me with having to come in here and waste my valuable time, and I would like to be out there picnicking like the rest of the people here.
Enjoying your life.
No, but I'm I don't want to be exaggerated. I'm enjoying my life, because were it not for people like them, I would probably be 500 pounds and you know, with an attitude of everything is fine. I'd have beads and earrings in my ear, and you know, and I'd be one to get me a gold teeth, and probably visiting the medical marijuana office every day. But instead, I'm glad that these things, for my liking, are out there, and they're too numerous. And I would submit to you that the governor, David Ige, all of them are complicit. They may not want to accept it, but they're complicit. Oh yeah, because they forget that, you know, they go and talk about how they care about the environment.
Right.
And they forget that there's a mayor, look like Dorothy's uncle on a little blue bike.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Hey mayor, can you take a stroll or paddle your ass over there to that ditch that's dumping, that you allowing to dump into the ocean? for the last 5, 6, 10, 15 years?
Yeah.
Show us that that bike's going to work. Okay, now, you know, where are you going with this bike? you know, so something.
Either he's out of touch or he's definitely denial.
That man is in touch. He's in touch with everything that's broken. Everything. Whether it's a minivan, you know, buses, train, sewer, water, trash, landfill.
Yeah, and Carol, you know, he can tell, you know, raise the handyvan, the bus, everything else is just fed, and then they take a 5% increase in their salary.
Oh, yeah.
Just because the people below them are making more than what they're making.
Yeah.
We got a raise, so we deserve a salary increase. He could have took a less than a 5%, 1% for everybody.
Yeah, and here we... 1%. And here we have a situation where, and I'm going to raise this issue until I drop dead, or until somebody hit me upside the head again. But this is an insult, because they have the responsibility. They gather money. They take money from federal agencies, and they fail to enforce the law. And the EPA was here, the military. You understand? And now, here's something real quick. We know that Ed Case, for example, was a state senator?
Congress.
Yeah, and Congress too, right?
Yeah.
And we know that he worked for Capital Ventures out there, Hunt Capital Ventures, or one of those companies. And we know that I read on my show where he wrote in their defense saying that the military is sovereign too, right? Now, when did he adopt that or become educated? Did he have that same mindset as a state senator and a state congressman, that while he was off protecting the interests of the Hawaiians and all, but then when the military gets involved and pays him or hires him as a contractor, he now reminds them that you're a sovereign nation, and then writes back and say, we object, the state has no right to be on our property and what have you. And the state then parades around and, oh, we're the enforcers, but then if you ask the second question, do you have authority to be on federal land? No, we don't. That's... And I have the documents to show it. I mean, I'm not sitting here speaking as a frustrated old man.
Yeah, and then his sister's in that position.
Yeah, and then his sister handled it. But anyway, we'll take care of it next week and try to figure out a little more. So,
thank you, Carol. You have a good 4th of July.
Thank
you.
And God bless America.
God bless America.
All righty, brother.
Hello.
Guys, thank you for calling in, and thank you for listening in. And I know it's kind of hard to take but and hard to chew on, but so many other things, and you tend to get through them. And I hope that it helps. And look at me on thinktechhawaii.com. I was going to play the commercial, but we didn't have it. But thinktechhawaii.com. Jay Fidel is there. He's the executive director. And you might want to go there on the internet and look us up there. And remember, I have a show there on every other Tuesday at 12:30 live, 12 o'clock live, Think Tech Hawaii, called Eyes on Hawaii. And you can pick me up this afternoon at 1 o'clock, I'm sorry, at Channel 54 about Ocala on the Big Island, where you know that we filed, I didn't, but there was a lawsuit filed against the Big Island Dairy by a community group over there on that you've seen the interview here. So thank you, guys. I appreciate you, and see you next week. Aloha.
Hallelujah, la, la. Hallelujah. Yashiru kula Emila achat bo nida Alev mare bahamon toda Veholem gam hu eize olam nifla Alleluia im hashir Alleluia ayom shalei Alleluia, al ma shehaya ya, u ma sheod lo haya, Alleluia.
Show heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.
This morning.